Let us now turn to the passage we read in 2 Corinthians 5, and we shall read again at verse 18. 2 Corinthians 5:18. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And particularly the words in verse 19, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. Reconciliation is a lovely and precious gospel word. It speaks to us of friendship with God. It is really an amazing thing that sinners can be friends with God. That sinners can enjoy a relationship with God, which is one of friendship. Truly, there are none present who would not love and long to be friends of God. Well, that's what the gospel is about. It's about reconciliation, but making those who are alienated from God, who are strangers to God, and who are even enemies of God, making them friends of God, to enter into that glorious and happiest of all relationships in this life, a relationship of friendship with the Most High. Sinners, yes, sinners, be made friends with the one who is holy, holy, holy. The sinful and the unholy being brought into a relationship of friendship with the holy and righteous God. That is what the gospel is about. That's what the gospel does. That's what Christ has opened up to us. That is God's provision for the sinner. For the sinner, that he or she might enter into friendship with him. Now, what we read here, God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. What does that describe? It describes the very essence of what took place on the cross of Calvary. There, God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself. The grace of God, the graciousness of God, the kindness of God towards sinners It is beyond belief. But we have to begin a little bit further back and ask the question, was there a need and is there a need for reconciliation? This is not the case that we come into this world created by God and therefore friends of God until we blot our copybook, as we all do. Well, the most difficult thing of all to accept is that the relationship between man and God is not a relationship which is cordial. The relationship as it is naturally and in the natural state as we come into this world is not a cordial relationship with And no matter how casually man sometimes tries to make it all seem, how casual and easy always we are with God, the fact of the matter is this, that the relationship begins, the starting point of the relationship is not cordiality and friendship, but that it is a relationship of estrangement and of stress and of controversy and of difference. We are not by nature closely related to God. We are far from it. Now that is extremely difficult to accept. But there are few things that help us to understand ourselves and to understand this world as it is, to make us wise with true wisdom, than the acceptance of this fact. The fact clearly taught in the scriptures that man comes into this world estranged from God. And not only that, but man continues in that state of estrangement. And he continues as a sinner offending God. And without even trying, man cannot help offending God again and again and again. And it all piles up and piles up. The relationship does not improve just by the natural course of things. This situation gets worse and worse as we go on. Because man offends God continually. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Reading John chapter 2, I think it's verse 2. If we say we have not sinned, we make him, that is God, a liar, and his word is not in us. We simply do not take God at his word. We simply will not take what this book says as the word of God and receive it as such. There is a resistance in us to it. Man is not by nature in good standing with God. And man by any efforts of his own, cannot make himself, or bring himself, or work himself, or take himself into good standing with God. So his situation is grim, because a death rests upon him. The death which sin brings upon man. As far as his ability to do anything for himself, to strike any kind of deal or bargain with God is concerned, man has a death upon him. It just cannot be. He cannot, as it were, meet God halfway and settle the differences. He is quite simply a sinner. And if God himself does not do something, if God himself puts nothing in place, then the enmity, the estrangement will continue. And it will get worse rather than better. Man remains under the certain, sure and certain condemnation of God at the final judgment. It's not as if man must blot his copybook, as it were. He must offend. He must commit certain things, maybe, so that he will be under the condemnation of God. It's not like that, my friend. The truth of God is that man is by nature under the condemnation of God. And if he continues in his natural state, he will by default and by neglect, he will be condemned by God at the final judgment. My friend, it's not just me that says that. Please don't think. It is so clear in the Word of God. The question is asked, in the Word of God, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? All it takes is neglect. All it takes is just to do nothing. To be our own natural selves from beginning to end. You might look at the rich man, the parable of the rich man and Lazarus. You examine the rich man. Now, I know people work things in and read things in, but in the end, without plain reading of it, we have to say, well, I can't find anything wrong in that man's life. Yet he ended up in hell. Except for this one clue that he fared sumptuously every day. Now there is nothing wrong with the faring sumptuously, but behind that there is the truth. Every day. Day by day by day. Moment by moment by moment. Second by second. That's how it happens. A man slides by neglect into hell. But God does not leave man in his plight, but he intervenes for those estranged ones, those who are his enemies. Sinner, he intervenes for them. And he does so in the most wondrous and amazing way. That brings us to our second point. We have dealt with the relationship between man and God in its natural state, and that it is not cordial. Secondly, we look at God's intervention, and we have here in the text the key to understanding the cross of Jesus Christ. The key to understanding the crucifixion, to understanding why it really all was, what really did happen. It is this, that on that cross, God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself. Nowhere can we read man reconciled God to himself. God in Christ on that cross was reconciling the world unto himself. He was taking away estrangement and the enmity. Now, there is a difficulty which must be grappled with if we are going to understand what happened on the cross. Now, it is not something which is just totally and utterly incomprehensible. Some people make it out to be. There is light in the Word of God on this difficulty. But the cross would be an impossibility if this difficulty or this mystery was not there. There can only be God reconciling himself, reconciling the world to himself on that cross, only can be if God is triune. That is why the Christian religion is absolutely unique. Because it speaks of God, one God, yet Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. One God, but three persons in that one God. God is indivisible, even although he exists in three persons. There cannot be a tearing apart. There cannot be a dividing. This is the only God there is, one who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And only such a God could provide this gospel that we preach, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. Because God is triune, because he is Father, Son, and Spirit, God the Father could send his Son into this world to become the man Jesus Christ. To become the man Jesus Christ, still remaining God. Not setting aside his Godhood, but continuing to be God. God the Son. In this man, Jesus Christ. And not only so, but God in Christ, in the man Jesus Christ, on that cross, could so work as to reconcile the world to himself. It could not happen if God was not triune. Because God is triune, God the Father could lay upon his Son on that cross the punishment, the right punishment for those who were so estranged from God. Sometimes we speak of reconciliation. Reconciliation between two people or two groups. I once knew a man who worked in the what was then known as the Conciliation and Arbitration Service, trying to reconcile two parties, usually in industry, who were at odds with one another, trying to reconcile. And I said to him one day, surely you must live your life as it were on the edge, as if on a dilemma, in a dilemma. He says, yes, permanently. Because all he could do, you see, was little bits. One side giving a little bit, and the other side giving a little bit, and somehow or other working them together into one. It was also much dependent on each party surrendering some part of their principle. Surrendering this, surrendering that, to bring them together. Otherwise, it just did not work. That cannot happen with God. God cannot surrender this principle. There is only one way that God could reconcile the world to himself. And that is that the punishment for the sins of sinners should be paid in full. And that is what happened. Notice the difference between that reconciliation and man's attempt at reconciliation. There is no surrender of principle. God doesn't change. God doesn't say, well, I will abandon my righteousness. I will abandon so much of it. No. God remains righteous. Remains a God of perfection. And he lays the punishment in full upon his Son on that cross. God the Father laying it on God the Son. Yes, it is in a sense God laying it on God. Till it was spent. Result. Righteousness all the way through. So that this reconciliation is utterly right and just, and there is not the slightest hint of any surrender of principle. No hint of any change in God. But he remains righteous. So we have the amazing result. Man is coming or brought into friendship with God on the basis that he has no debt. But that all his debt has been paid. That all his sins have been paid. That the penalty has already been laid upon Jesus Christ. You see how none of these things could happen. God was not triune. It would be impossible. There would be no salvation. There would be no gospel. There would be no continuing righteousness of our God. Except God in Christ on that cross reconciled world unto himself by laying on him the right and full penalty for the sins of the sinner. Because he was a man, he could take her place. And because he was God, he could take the place of a multitude. And that is what he did. God and man reconciled on the basis of penalty paid. On the basis of divine justice being completely satisfied. And thirdly, God has now committed to believers, and I believe that this burden rests on every believer, not just on ministers or on elders, but that every believer has this burden upon them. The ministry of reconciliation. Upon them is the burden of pointing sinners to Christ. Upon them is the burden of seeking that others might enjoy what they have tasted of. God has committed this good news to the church upon earth. making us, as it says here, ambassadors for Christ. Proclaiming the good news. Even more amazing is this, that when we call men and women to believe this good news, that they might be reconciled to God through Jesus Christ, then it is as though God Himself was calling. That's what it says here. And He was beseeching, ardently calling them to come and believe on Christ and be reconciled to God. My friend, the work is done. It was done on that cross. God there laid the penalty of sin upon His Son Jesus Christ. It is done. For all who will receive this reconciliation, for all who long to be friends with God, then the call is to come. Come and be reconciled to God. Come and be friends with God. Because there is now no barrier except your own unwillingness to come, your own stuff. Work is done. Come and receive the benefit. Come and be reconciled to God. Oh, my friend. Why will you remain an enemy of God when the work has been done? Why will you not come? Is your stubbornness or your neglect? Is it going eventually to sweep you down to a lost eternity? Let us pray. Our gracious God, we pray that Thou wilt grant us an urgency that Thou wilt burden us, Lord. Thou wilt stress us, Lord, with the need to be reconciled to God in this life. To hear and to heed the word, come, before we hear the word, depart, which we will hear in the next world. If we do not come in this world, then we will hear the word, depart, in the next world. Oh Lord, help us to be reconciled to Thee. Forgive us and cleanse us. In Jesus' name, Amen.